Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouth foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No holes barred.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Happy New Year.
No, we've
Wait
done
a minute,
that.
We've done this.
We've done that. No, no, shit. No.
What day
when did we do it? When did we do it? Oh yeah, we did it. We did it Monday.
Monday, that's right. It's now Thursday.
Why is it when I haven't seen you? Like I just feel like I haven't seen you.
I know.
And we get very giddy. I am actually on a bordering obsessed with you.
Oh, I'm flattered. I'm flattered.
Like, I love watching your stories. I love everything you do. Just in love with you.
Yes, I love you. We've already been chatting for half an hour, haven't we?
We have.
We've had a full-blown convo before we even started.
Yeah, but then that always happens. The little conslabbers.
It does. We need to just touch base. Touch base.
Touch. Literally. Imagine if we did touch base every week, that would be lush.
It would. Look, it's bloody 2021. No, it's not.
It's not actually. We don't want to live that year again. That can get
I don't
fast.
Even know who I am. My kids have only today's my first child-free day,
and you're here with me.
In
you lucky
19
bitch.
Million days.
This 19 is my first million days.
I'm elated. I feel so. It actually, I can't believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. I feel a little bit, just ever so slightly bereft, slightly, just a little bit.
Oh, mate!
Because
I
spent so
mean.
Much time with them.
Yeah,
and like. Especially Oliver, because he had way more time off than Edith, because she goes to an excellent nursery that's just open all the time.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank the fucking Lord. She was booted out on Wednesday. Is that right? Yeah, Wednesday. So yesterday, me and Oliver went to IKEA, little Aww. Road trip together. It was so sweet. He's just very sweet. He's a very sweet boy. We had a great time. He loved it. He fucking loved IKEA.
My kids love it if they go there and they leave with something. And the biggest issue that I have is something. That for everywhere that we go, the requirement is high to leave with something. So it's like, I'm going to the corner shop. I'll come with you, mummy. And you're thinking, I'm not going to leave without you fucking getting something.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
I love my kids so much. You know, and you're like, I don't want to spend any goddamn money on you.
No, isn't my love enough enrichment for your life? Can I just tell you, Laura, that your name on Zoom is actually SAG. It's not even
Yeah,
slag.
I accidentally missed the L. Because the annoying thing is that my Zoom has, it just, my Zoom is Laura Belvin, because obviously sometimes I have to be, you know, not unprofessional.
Yeah.
And imagine being a slag on your Zoom session with your fucking psychologist. Don't go down that well. So it automatically comes up as Laura Belvin. And every time I come to do this meeting, I'm like,
you have to change it.
It can't be Laura Belvin. I have to change it to slag. But but yeah, it's SAG.
SAG. How have you been? How's your week been? I mean, in the 4 days that we haven't spoken to each other, what's gone down? Anything exciting?
Well, my kids have gone back to school, which has been precious.
Major. Yeah. How was the emotional sort of state of your house with the going back to school? Was it calm, serene, or was it chaos?
Mate, it's never calm and serene. So Toby just decided on the night before that he was going back to school to just not go, just, I'm not going to go to sleep.
Oh, no.
What I prefer to do is come downstairs every 40 to 50 seconds and say, I can't sleep. And I'm going to get you to carry me back up to my bed and say, yes, you can, Toby, it's time to go to bed. And then by the time we get our ass cheeks on the fucking sofa, he's back, back downstairs again doing it.
Oliver does that a lot.
So yeah, you could imagine the fucking eye bags he had around his face.
Oh,
what the, I don't even, I hate January. I just
do. Yeah, I do.
I don't get me wrong,
it.
I birthed a child in January, so it's a precious time. It was the first time I became a mother. But January lasts such a long fucking time.
So long. Everyone's broke. The weather is atrocious.
Steve's tiptoeing out while picking his nose right now. I just want to let you know of the absolute sexual magnetism of my husband. Tiptoeing while picking his nose. Just walk out of the room. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. How are you? How are you?
I'm all right. Yes, yeah, just I've still been looking after kids, so I don't feel like my new year. I've done the old. What are these things called?
Two inverted fingers. Comments,
the two fingers.
Dib dab dog.
Dib dab dog has actually started. In my mind, I was like, well, I've still got the kids, so I'm certainly not going to stop eating all these chocolates because what else have I got to live for? And so I'm not going to, you know, be productive, and I'm not going to do any work because they're here. So today is my first day back in business, 2022. Gonna smash it.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you, when it gets to the new year, new me, bullshit, which by the way, I don't believe in, but yeah, are you the type of person when you have all the bad stuff in your house, will you throw it away?
So what? You know what's in, what's interesting, Laura, I feel like this is a little bit of personal growth that I've managed to make over the last year. I'm yes excited. I've always been that person, and it Rob's the opposite of me. When it comes to stuff like that, his mentality is, oh my god, we still got all this food, I'm just gonna eat it all in one go. Mine is fucking get it out of house, get rid of it. Wow. If it's here, I'm gonna eat it. But this year I haven't done that.
Amazing.
I haven't done it. Firstly, because it's incredibly wasteful, and I, you know, appreciate that it's really wasteful. Yeah,
well, this is what stresses me out. It's horrific, actually.
Just leave them there and just eat them like a normal human being over the course of the next week, rather than doing one binge day. Do you know what I mean?
I am. I don't know. Am I an exception to the rule? Am I a rarity?
Probably. You might be.
An oddball.
I think so.
A weirdo, because I don't cope very well when it's not in my house. That's when I'm like, oh my god,
really?
Yeah, so our treat cupboard is disgusting, but it's always disgusting.
Yeah,
because if it's there, I'm like, okay, it's there, I don't have to worry about it. I don't know if it's because, like, the cave lady in me is always waiting for the apocalypse, and so I just think, well, when that happens,
I'm gonna need a Twix. I'm gonna need a Kit Kat Chunky,
and I'm gonna survive. Like, the fact that I can't run for shit, and I have crippling anxiety that would kill me within, I don't know, hours of an apocalypse. But at least my cupboards would be full.
Yeah, I'd say we do always have treats in the house, but it's like it's managed. It's not like excessive.
Ours is,
but over Christmas it's always excessive, because I'll just go and do like a big shop and be like, oh, those look nice. Oh, those look nice. Oh, those. Yeah. Whereas normally I wouldn't do that on a, you know, week by week basis, unless it was a special occasion or something. But I did do, once I dropped Oliver off at school today. School run was all right as well, actually. I thought it would be horrific. Yeah, it was all right. It was fucking freezing. I was on my bike. I looked like such a nerd.
What the fuck? The temperature at the moment, it has plummeted.
It has plummeted, hasn't it?
We should be news reporters. Can you imagine if someone gave us, like,
there's
live
no
TV?
Way that I can be on live TV.
With me, though, you'd be fine, love.
Yeah, but I'd just be like, fucking hell, it's cold today. Yeah, this is the 8 a.m. news. You can't really swear on.
Have we ever spoken about that on here? About that time when we were on that thing, that live thing, me and you? And we were told, it was last year, so it was during, like, COVID times. We were all on Zoom. I can't remember. It was a panel, and it was a panel of, like, proper big journalists, and then me and Victoria, and they said, you know, just don't swear, basically. It's going out to the whole of, like, the news broadcasting world. Don't swear. And within 40 seconds, Vic said dick. I was like, oh, there she goes.
But in my mind, that's not a swear word. Is it? His dick is rumoured.
Well, I guess, you know, you could maybe take it back to medieval times and suggest no.
Literally, I think the only words that I consider to be swear words are fuck, cunt, shit, and cunt. That's it. Those are my own. That's, I wouldn't say anything else was a swear word.
I'd say prick, cunt, shit, bollocks, bullshit. Bollocks.
Oh, I said bollocks the other day and Oliver was like, bollocks, what's bollocks?
It's a very bad word you mustn't ever repeat.
Oh my god, I just said, oh, I didn't say that, I said pollocks.
And which
made up word, chollocks.
Chollocks. It's chocolate with cat hair.
Yeah, he doesn't know, he's only five, mate.
So we've already done the New Year's resolution thing, the fact we're not going to do a New Year's resolution. I think we need to just move past the fact that it's only the 6th of January.
Yeah,
but when this podcast comes out, it will be
the 9th, 8th, 10th, 11th,
12th. 11th. It'll be the 11th of January. And I can honestly say I feel like I've already spent 40 days in January.
Oh, God, doesn't it? It's just long.
The days just don't seem... It's the dreary, shitty bollocksness.
Yeah, so dreary. It's like there's no light. I swear, sunshine. It's like, where have you gone? I need it.
Yeah, I do contemplate moving country completely.
Yeah.
To evade this level of doomness. So, you know how I had promised you...
funny articles.
Funny articles from around the world.
Yeah.
And I'm very frustrated with myself because obviously this one is one that I shared in my immediate moment of hilarity because I thought it was hilarious. And then I immediately got cross at myself because I thought, Jesus Christ, that could have been perfect.
Well, just use it.
Don't you fucking worry. I'm going to use it.
We've got to discuss it. It's just perfect material for this podcast.
And that's why I got so excited. And I honestly don't think that there would have been a moment where I could have waited long enough to share this with you.
Please bequeath my ears with your words.
I will bequeath your ears. woman who made £37,000 a week selling farts.
£37,000 a week. I thought it was a month. Oh my God.
Well, she was hospitalized for trying to fart too much. You know, sometimes when you just say, what the fucking fuck? So a former reality star, so she was obviously known in the industry. I don't think you said it, not for containing farts, made £148,000 from farting into jars, has announced her retirement after she was rushed to hospital for squeezing out one too many. Steph Matto, 31, from Connecticut. I don't know why I did an Australian accent with that. Recently found herself on A&E symptoms of a heart attack after experiencing shooting pains in her chest. Concerned doctors performed blood tests and a echocardiogram. Oh, okay. But told later the 90-day fiancé TV star that the symptoms were actually caused by excessive gas from her frequent diet of beans, eggs and banana protein shakes.
Mate, the stench of those things, that is a right combo, isn't it?
I'm just saying, the market has just opened up.
It has. Make way, body burps.
I'm not even kidding you when I say we'd be millionaires if we jarred Steve's farts.
Well, yeah, and mine. Mine is Steve's bumholes.
Steve's bum is so loose.
Yeah,
you will not even... Stephen James, you're making quite a lot of noise.
He's warming up. He's warming up for his new career.
Fucking hell. Yeah, he is. Because you know how you can inhale air into your vagina, which obviously your beloved sister's fanny farters.
Yeah.
They know how to intake air and do a queef.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can do that into your bum hole. Like,
it's too tight. The hole's too tight, I think.
I wonder if you were to even put a device up there to pump it full of air.
Oh my God, that is absolutely not terrible. Recommended. I would not do that. No. And also then technically it wouldn't
not
be...
Fart, just pump it there.
Yeah, it wouldn't be... It would have just had close contact with Uranus for like 10 seconds. Whereas a fart has made its whole way through your digestive system, hasn't it?
And then it has the potential to be lethal.
I don't even know how a fart is made. Like, how does that work? Is it just pockets of air that get stuck between poos or what? and then there's enough the pressure builds up of the pocket of air that it just has to
it's a noxious gas, isn't it? And like when you put rubbish outside, rubbish creates a smell.
I need to look this up, mate.
That smell is contained in the intestinal tract and then performed out of the rectum.
How is a fart made? Flatulence, also known as a fart, is something everyone experiences. Yeah, no shit. It's the release of intestinal gas, which forms as a result of digesting food. So basically, yeah, it is gas that's just found in the digestive tract that then builds up and has to be popped out. This is like your story, and then I'm giving you some facts.
Into a fact.
Oh, this is so exciting.
God, we're so smooth.
So we fart because of the build-off of gas in our bodies, typically due to this swallowed air. Like a fucking fish just swallowing air.
I've just deliberately swallowed to see what it feels like to swallow air.
That's making a fart.
I've just swallowed air that's now going to come out of my bum.
Maybe mine and Steve's issue with being so windy is that we swallow too much air. Could be that.
Needed to start swallowing air and not swallowing fucking chocolate.
Am I like swallowing smelly egg air? I don't think so.
No, because it's eggy. It's not the air that becomes eggy. It's the juices in the stomach that turn it eggy. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It's the rotting of food.
If you're having a carbonated beverage, that can also cause gas because obviously it's got gas in it.
Obviously, yeah.
An overgrowth of bacteria in the small intestine. Several conditions can lead to bacteria overgrowth. Well, that's about celiac disease, inflammatory bowel disease, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Carbohydrates that haven't fully digested. Sometimes all your food doesn't get fully digested by the enzymes in the small intestines. When partially digested, carbs reach the colon. Bacteria convert part of that food into hydrogen and carbon dioxide gases.
Jesus. Oh, and that's why they are VV offensive.
VV.
Do you know why I always say VV offensive? Because my brother-in-law, he was hospitalized once, he had a blood clot, and unfortunately while being in the hospital he caught the DMV bug.
Right.
And I remember Steve and I went to go and visit him, and obviously he was not in a great way. He had passed the sickness and diarrhea stage. Yeah. And it actually said on his medical chart when we went in to visit him that his bowel movement was VV offensive.
Medical technology.
I've never ever forgotten that. So like VV. Steve will always say, I've just gone for a poo and it's VV offensive up there.
Oh my god, poor brother-in-law. So all of that gas that you're swallowing that's getting created in your intestines, all those carbs. I mean, I eat so many carbs. That's probably the reason I'm such a farty cunt.
Yeah, but just I eat a fucking dickload of carbs. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm definitely a parpin parper, but...
But then I reckon that I, my ancestry, I've inherited sensitive bowels from my family. Like, my mum's got IBS, my sister's got IBS as well.
Oh, your sister's got sort of poo trauma.
Things going on, isn't she?
Diverticulitis.
So all of that gas, right, it's got to go somewhere. So sometimes your body absorbs some of it, and then when too much of it gathers in the upper part of your colon and puts pressure on the colon wall, you can feel pain in your abdomen. That's not true, not all the time, or even all the way up into your chest, it says here. So she must have had an absolute backlog.
Have you not ever had trapped wind in your shoulder before?
I mean, there's a sentence I never thought of here.
In your fucking shoulder. Oh good god, the pain.
I've had really bad stomach ache from trap wind, and it's like weird
trap
pain,
wind is
and it's
horrible.
I had it the other night. I was like, oh my god, I'm dying. It's because of
I get trapped wind sometimes when, and it feels like a baby moving inside my stomach.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, having it in your shoulder, it really hurts.
You always think like, oh, I'm actually dying. It says sometimes you may experience more flatulence than usual. Increased farting can stem from a natural body reaction, or in some cases, an underlying medical condition. At the time of day, so the end of the day, you're going to fart more. Yeah, I would have thought that. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends. Yeah, but Steve doesn't. He farts all day round. From the moment he wakes up, he will fart all day.
Rob says he knows when I'm awake at night because I fart. He's like, when you're asleep, you don't fart. But when I know you're awake, so I'll just hear a... Because mine take a little bit of, I don't know, effort to get out. There's not just sliding out. I've got to push always. I do have involuntary farts where it just happens. I'm like, oh shit, the bed. Normally in public situations.
I see Steve in meetings. Like physically shifting, and I know it's coming.
Yeah. Pregnancy, yeah, we know that one. Menstruation as well can make you fart more.
Yeah, but then I feel like my farts are hotter when I'm menstruating.
Yeah, I'd say
I'm currently menstruating. Oh my good God.
I'm ovulating and oh God, the slime situation is getting out of control. I feel like it's just the slimer.
Oh, it's a climb. I was like, what the fuck is climb? Climbing Rob?
No, definitely not.
I feel like we are entering the pre-menopausal stages. Yeah,
this is it, isn't it? It's like extreme versions of everything that just used to kind of go quite unnoticed. It's now, I said to Rob, I was like, do I need to change my trousers, mate? Because I feel like I'm
like a sludge fest.
It's an absolute sludge fest. It was like, this is like sitting in a pool of lube, basically.
A pool of slugs vomit.
Slugs minge excretions.
Yeah, I messaged you yesterday, I think it was, didn't I? And I said, if it's not my boobs absolutely fucking killing me in the lead up to my period,
yep,
then it is that I feel like my womb is going to literally crawl out of my body and go somewhere else. I would much rather. I dread menopause.
I know, I'm getting on HRT as soon as there's a whiff of that hormone imbalance.
My anxiety is already shit, thank you very much. I don't need any more hormone imbalance. I am going to get maca root powder. I'm going to snort that bitch up through my fucking nostrils. I'm going to shit it out, but I don't want to suffer really badly with menopause. Fucking
I probably
terrible.
Will because my mum did, so you know,
great,
inherit all these brilliant things from her. Shall we round up the farts, lols? Are you up for selling some farts in some jars?
But the thing is, I would also do an OnlyFans page with my members of my body dismembered. I'm gonna hack my arm off, I'm gonna put it on fans only. I'd make a lot of money for that.
Yeah, you would.
Maybe some weird fucking absolute lunatic that would be up for that. I'm also not going to do that, but I would, my armpit, like a crease in my leg, you know, like my fucking eyelashes, I'd do all of that.
What would you do with it? Just put a picture up of it?
Yeah, I might even do it and see how well it goes.
Yeah, do
it. Being funny, that woman, she literally just started an OnlyFans page on the not an OnlyFans page, she started a business on the basis that she would fucking fart into a jar.
So true.
Like,
can sell anything, you know, these days, can't you? Can sell anything. Yeah.
You can sell hot, smelly air.
With absolutely no guarantee that you've genuinely done a fart in a jar. That's the sort of complicated bit for me. I'm like, who's believing that that fart is genuinely trapped in there?
You've got to really move fast to get the lid on, haven't you? I wonder if she has an assistant.
Probably. PA. PA. Bomb assistant.
Fart collector.
Noel Hole's website will be saying jarred farts.
I wonder if you could pay more money at like certain times a month. So like if you were to fart into a jar while you're scarfing, whether you would be able to sell more of like the ovulation fart.
Probably. I mean, at the end of the day, if I was going to do that, I would absolutely be conning people out of that. I'd be like, yeah, I'll fart in that jar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
It just wasn't a bad one.
Give me $37,000, motherfuckers. I think she would have had to have like provided, I don't know, maybe a photograph of her farting into it or a video.
I'll bet you any money
farting into it.
And when you think, if you think of like a jam jar, you could really get that right over your anus to make that it was airtight.
You'd have to provide a certificate of anal authenticity.
Yeah. This is fart number 465.
Oh, I wonder what's happened to her now. If the excess air has been absorbed.
Well, the fact
expelled.
That she thought she was having a fucking heart attack because she had had too many beans and eggs.
Oh, that just sounds so horrific, that diet anyway. What, yeah. A banana protein shake fart just makes me gag.
She needs to eat a wheel of cheese and then
that's
fart.
What the gym smells like, isn't it? That's why I hate the gym. It smells of banana protein farts.
It just smells of man sweat and fart and penis. Yeah.
It's in a bit
Do you know
bollock.
What I mean?
Yeah. That's what I hate.
What did
it.
You say?
A bit of bollock. Bollock. Just a bit of bollock.
They said Tony Big Bollock.
Well, actually, they'd probably be Tony Tiny Bollock because they're all on steroids. That's just an assumption. Yeah. It's just
we shouldn't make that assumption, but also it's one that is quite heavily, you know, known.
When your neck is wider than your head, something's going on.
Something's not normal there.
It's not natural.
If you're not Dwayne Johnson, I wonder if he takes steroids.
Probably.
I don't know.
Who knows? Let's move on.
Let's move on before this gets complicated.
All right. Should we have a little agony aunt? We haven't had an agony aunt for ages, have we? Hi, guys. I've been listening to your podcast from the start, and as a new mum with no one to go for advice, it's made me feel so much better about myself. Oh, sweet.
Love that.
I am 24 and married. I have an 8-month-old year daughter.
Eight-month-year-old daughter.
That doesn't make sense.
Sleep deprivation. I have an 8-month-old daughter.
My problem is that I have no time at all to look after myself, to shower, eat, go to the toilet or brush my teeth, let alone any hobbies. My baby's so active and constantly on the move. She's constantly trying to climb up my leg and doesn't like being put in a high chair. I really don't have any family to help. They live hours away and we aren't close. I have only one friend and my husband works from 7 to 6. He's an amazing help in the evening, but the days are so long. I feel like I'm in a constant state of anxiety, depression, and I can't see it getting better. I'm speaking to a therapist, but I don't feel like it's happening, like it's helping. They've suggested antidepressant medication, but my family has a history of being addicted to it, so I'd rather go herbal. Any suggestions on how to manage my time with a demanding baby and not want to unalive myself?
Oh, that's really shit and really heavy.
Thank you, and please keep being raw and real, as for people like me who have no female family members, never get to hear the actual reality of motherhood being a woman.
Well, first of all, I can like 100% relate to that kind of like constant demand. 8 months, you know, you're just coming out of, you might not even be coming out of like the complete and utter debilitating exhaustion of a newborn baby.
Yeah.
And then on top of all of that, you've got to fucking deal with the fact that they're on the move. Yeah. And then you can't trust them with anything because they want to put their fucking mouth around everything.
Yeah. It's like that it's age when you so have to just be hard on them all the time, or they want to be on you. Like, you've got to keep your eyes on them and they want to just be held or being interactive or whatever. You know, it is really hard. It's a hard age, especially when they start moving.
And also the other thing I'd say to, with especially with therapy, which is something that you also said to me at the beginning, and you know, I was told by other people too, if you're not feeling it and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere with a therapist, you fucking get rid of them.
Yeah.
You do not invest yourself into an environment that is not positively helping you. And any therapist that is even worth an ounce of respect will always understand that.
Totally,
and they will
that.
Want you and they will encourage you to go and find somebody that will help you. And it's really, really fucking shit, because I definitely went through that last year, when you have given time to a therapist and then you find out actually they're not helping you. If anything, they might be making you feel worse, which is what happened to me. That you think, fucking great, I've got to start all over again with someone else. But when you find the right person,
and it all just actually clicks, doesn't it?
Fucking hell, it's life changing.
Yeah, like one or two sessions with the right person is worth like 100 with the wrong person, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. 100,000,000%. Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more.
So that's the first step.
Change therapist.
It might take a while. How many did you, so you got on, your second therapist was the one?
My second therapist, like,
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough because I found her through my friend who's a psychologist. So I was, I get that. I know of people who have had lots of unsuccessful situations with therapy where they've just not gone to the right person, or that person's not been able to deal with their particular need. Trauma, normally, isn't it? It's normally a trauma-led thing that you're suffering with.
Yeah.
Whatever that might be. But the other thing I say about medication is that there's such a taboo subject around antidepressants, and I know why, because there's a lot of research to say that long-term use of them isn't great. But if you're at a point in your life where you feel like you want to end things, or you feel like you can't go on anymore, you really have to question what is worth it and why it's important to not knock antidepressants out
and be like, that's not going to be an
just because your family are on them doesn't mean you're going to stay on them.
And also, you've got to remember, like, it doesn't have to be forever. I think antidepressants can work really well as a bridge between being in that really difficult dark place where literally there's no hope and you just feel terrible to, you know, a couple of months down the line, 6 months down, like whatever, where they just kind of get you to a bit more of an even keel.
Where you feel stable.
Yeah, where you feel stable. And it's not something that you have to take for the rest of your life.
No.
But equally, if you do, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I always like that analogy anyway with mental health. Is like, if you broke a leg, you're not going to fucking walk around on it, are you? And be like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Because what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. You're not going to be able to walk on it. And eventually, you're probably going to have to be amputated.
Yeah. I mean, it will go gangrene.
So do it. Like, I don't think I've ever had... Maybe when I was much, much younger, I had sort of like negative views about them, but now I don't at all.
And the same as you, when I was younger, I definitely had negative views on them because I was like, oh, they're really addictive. And I just think I heard a lot of information of what other people felt about antidepressants. I'm currently on them because that it is my bridge at the moment for being stable off the back of what happened to me last year. And some of the other medication that I've been on, I felt really embarrassed to admit about because I've just felt like there's such a stigma attached to them. But the stigma really needs to be removed because without that medication, I don't know, would I still be here? That has helped me to become stable. And I do think that our mental state, when we're not in a good way, it just kind of like... it changes our logic and it changes the way that we see things. And I know that there are natural medications that you can take that act like an antidepressant. I can suggest like looking up, because I'm not going to die. I'm not qualified to be able to tell you what to take, but there are things like 5-HTP, which is a natural product to help boost serotonin levels. St. John's wort is another one, isn't it? That kind of acts as like an antidepressant. Getting your hormones checked would be another massive thing that I would ask you, I'd say for you to do, because you've just had a baby and you're really struggling. And actually that could have a lot to do with your current hormone.
Yeah, you've got to remember as well that it takes about a year for your hormones to return to their properly to return to their normal levels after a baby, especially if you're breastfeeding. If you're still breastfeeding, then your hormones are going to be completely
all
out
over
of whack.
The fucking place.
So I think you have to be really kind to yourself in that respect and remember that. And sometimes like when I think after I had my kids, I had those moments just feeling totally overwhelmed and completely just like I had no control over anything. My emotions were all over the place. My hormones were going wild. Just going back to the logic of why you're feeling like that can really help. It can be really helpful. It can just be a bit grounding of like, okay, yeah, I am feeling like this, but actually it's probably due to X, Y, Z, rather than it just being like, oh my God, what's going on? Because then you can just spiral and, you know, escalate things in your mind to what's happening when they're not actually happening.
Yeah, 100%.
And then in terms of the baby, I mean, look, Edith's only 2.5. And even now, I still have a child that I have to have with me all the time. Like Oliver can go and play in his room and be alone, but Edith can't. Like she has to have eyes on her. But with her, what I do, like, especially if I want to have a shower, I used to take the, either I take the high chair or I take the bouncy chair into the bathroom and strap her into it.
That's what I used to do.
Yeah, and then just put a couple of toys on her high chair. Because she's 8 months old, I'd probably say high chair is probably better than the bouncy chair.
Her baby doesn't even like the high chair.
I know, but do you know what? I just think tough shit sometimes. They just have to get used to it. Because otherwise you can't function. And at the end of the day, you're not going to be the best sort of parent that you can be if you don't put yourself first and take care of those basic needs.
And it's really difficult because when you have a crying baby, it's so intense and it's so loud and it's so overwhelming. You just think, fucking fuck off and shut up.
Yeah, man.
Just give me a break. And when you don't have anyone around you, it's just constant all the time. And obviously your partner works long hours. So that's shit as well. But you need to almost like find a debrief for you, like an opportunity where, you know, maybe when the baby's gone to bed, I don't know, maybe when the baby's having a nap, if you're able to just take some small moments for yourself. And it, like, I'm not, it's so fucking hard.
It really is.
Neither of you or I are sat here going, oh yeah, all you got to do is fucking do some coloring and you're going to feel better about yourself. It's not going to work that way, but it is about just taking small moments for yourself where you can be like, I want to have a shower.
Yeah.
You might not like this, but you are safe. You are fed. You are everything. All of your needs are met. Yeah. I now need to meet my needs.
Yeah.
My needs need to be met.
And I do think that, like, I'm sure we talked about this before, but I just think those really simple things of getting dressed, having a shower, getting dressed, brushing your teeth,
And getting out.
And getting out for like an hour. Just go for a walk around the park, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they make such a difference to how you feel. I just think they make you feel like operational. Because you're kind of like, okay, I've got a bit of structure, a bit of routine.
Honest to God, being outside and having fresh air, as you know, as much as people joke about it, having the opportunity to just get outside, it's not going to fix everything. It won't. But if you make it part of like your daily routine, it can be then something that it's like, I need to get out and do that now.
Yeah.
And I know that I felt that like last year when I was pretty much housebound. And then when I started to get out, I recognized when it was like, actually, I feel almost suffocated. I need to get out because I'm feeling entrapped and everything feels really overwhelming. And yeah, so I think that's like really, it's really sound advice, Vic.
Thanks. Thanks for that. Just remember, you know, I'm not far out of that. I mean, I'm still in it. So what I do with Edith, if I want to do something now, because also Edith, compared to Oliver, she's like a really demanding child in terms of my attention. She wants my attention. She wants to be touched. She wants to be held. She wants me to pick her up when I'm cooking, all this sort of stuff. The baby's probably a bit young for this, but one way that I've got around it now is that I get her involved in whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
When so if I need to clean something, I mean, I've told you she's a 1950s fucking housewife. She loves it, mate. Give her a duster. Yeah. That's her sorted. But when she was younger, I definitely just, I utilized the high chair and sort of closing a door. Like when I was getting ready, I'd always put toys down on the floor, close the door, make sure she couldn't get out. There was nothing in her vicinity that could be played with. And I'll just get ready. I've always done that with both my kids. Like, you know, done my hair, put some makeup on, got dressed, whatever. I've made that, like, I have to do that. Otherwise I do feel like I'm, you know, I don't know, not present or something. It's weird, isn't it?
I think in summary, don't push away the idea of medication. Go and talk to a professional, because we are not professionals. Have a definitely also think about getting your hormones checked. And there are loads and loads and loads of supplements that can help to support that. Are there not, Victoria?
No, indeed. You know what we haven't mentioned, though? You said about making friends.
Yeah,
I think that is such a difficult thing to do. When it is,
especially when you feel stuck. Like I didn't. I made friends when I had Elliot, but it first 3 months I didn't go to anything. I felt really isolated. I felt really lonely, and it was horrible because I didn't know how to get out of that. I was always, you know, and because he was my first child, I was like, shit, what if I show up and he's the only kid that cries or whatever? And then you go and it's like, oh, actually it's nothing like that.
No.
And it ends up being a much more kind of, I don't know, nourishing experience. I mean, you're going to get the cunt mums, you are.
Yeah.
But then out of that group of cunt mums, you are going to find people that are kind of like your people.
Yeah.
And that you enjoy and that you get on with. And even if you can make one other friend that just gets it.
I know. That step was really just having that one friend makes a massive, massive impact, doesn't it?
It's a big step of bravery to kind of show up at a group and basically leave yourself vulnerable in the hope that someone's going to go, hey, I'll be friends with you.
I know. Yeah, but you've got to do it. Even, you know, just going to like a baby class, or I'm sure in like your local area you can find out, get on the local mum's WhatsApp group, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even though I fucking hate those chats more than anything in the whole world, they are useful for knowing what's going on. And the other thing to say to her is to, it will end. That's the other thing.
Yeah, it will.
When you're in that moment, you're like, oh my God, this is going to go on forever. I'm going to never have another second. I'm never going to have a second to myself. But they do get older and they do start to become more independent. And the more opportunity that you give the baby to be independent by putting her in the high chair when you get in the shower, or, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the absolute joyous, joyous gift that is CBeebies. Just put on fucking CBeebies for 10 minutes, plonk them in front of it and go and sit and have a cup of tea on your own. As long as you can see them.
And if that 10 minutes turns into an hour, don't feel bad. Don't give
Oliver watched about 8 hours of TV yesterday. Did not care. He's had so much attention and everything over the Christmas holidays. I was like, do you know what? For one day, he can just fucking watch
Like my kids, they have so much technology time. Because if my kids didn't have technology, then I don't know. I'm pretty sure I would have left by now. I honestly would have. Or I'd have let my kids play out on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, like the good old days.
I can see why mums in the 80s were like, yeah, just go on the road. Just,
it's 8 a.m. Get out. Don't come back till it's dark.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was quite a heavy end. considering we started on quite a gassy
note. That's right. But you know what? That's what this podcast is all about. It's about
highs and lows of life and reality of life. And we love you all.
It's not all bloody farts in jars, is it?
It's life can't be farts in jars. I mean, even that poor lady is understanding the horrific nature in which it is too fart too much.
Too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing. Straining on the heart vessels.
Literally.
The cardiovascular is under pressure.
So if you want to send us any stories, remember, you can send us the voice notes. We want to hear your voice notes. You can DM those to our Instagram page. Sorry, I've got the order here all wrong.
Discombobulated.
Discombobulated. At our Instagram page, No Holds Barred Podcast. Or what else can they do, Laura?
They can also go to
You need to email.
I need to do the
email.
Because I can't cope with that being the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Or they can pop us an email at noholesbarred@gmail.com.
Podcast. No Holes Barred Podcast.
What did I say?
No Holes Barred.
Yeah, mate, it's No Holes Barred Podcast at gmail.com. Please don't ever do it that way around again.
It's too much, isn't it? Too much. Too much, my precious
little brain.
We will see you next Tuesday, Slags.
See you next Tuesday, bitches.
Bye.
Bye.